Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
So you ever wonder what happens to your computer when you send it to a recycling center? 80% of electronic waste from the United States gets shipped abroad to places in Africa and China, according to one recycling advocacy group. And that's one of the shocking statistics featured in a new Frontline World documentary called Digital Dumping Ground. Its producer, Peter Klein, is in the studio with me, former 60 Minutes producer and also a producer for Frontline World and a journalism professor at the University of British Columbia. Peter, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
You know, this is a classic investigative story. Trace, you know, follow the waste in this particular case. People have found sort of the trail of toxic waste decades earlier, and the problem with disposing of all kinds of waste in the industrialized world in the third world. E-waste is a special case. Explain what the challenges are.
Well, one of the challenges is that, like industrialized waste, there are a number of toxins within e-waste. There's lead, cadmium, all sorts of, when it's disposed of improperly, and particularly in Ghana, for instance, you know, it's just dumped in these open areas, and kids go through it and burn it to get the copper and get a couple pennies, but in the process expose themselves to all sorts of toxins from the smoke. But there's a secondary part, which is that, you know, there's your data's on there.
Well, let's hold up on the data for a second, because that's a bit of a surprise.
Right.
That was the real shocker to me. But the environmental issue is really sort of focused in this selection from your Frontline World documentary, Digital Dumping Ground. First of all, let's listen to this and then explain what's going on here.
What is happening there is rather apocalyptic.
Behind these chimneys are the burn stations, all retrofitted. I smell the solder. Here, let's get out.
One of the most disturbing things Puckett shows us is taking place behind closed doors. Women literally cooking circuit boards to salvage the computer chips, which have trace amounts of gold. They're slowly poisoning themselves with lead fumes.
Now, you're getting a tour from environmentalist Jim Puckett, who talks about what's exactly happening when we say our computers are being recycled. It must have been pretty shocking to see these women in the midst of this smoke.
It was a pretty surreal experience. I mean, what we did is we went to three different countries, but this clip you just heard was in China. I took my graduate students with me. So we were going through this town called Guiyu, which has gotten some press in the past. I mean, there's just nothing but lines and lines and lines of electronic waste everywhere. But what few people have actually seen, because usually people go in sort of, with all guns blaring and they get in trouble. We tried to go in very low key and sort of just quietly walked around and slipped into these little storefronts. And they look like innocent little storefronts with chimneys. But in fact, inside there are these women sitting in front of little coal-fired ovens, cooking, literally cooking circuit boards. You know, they sort of these sensitive-looking green and metal plastic things. They just stick it on top of an oven, and it just melts away the lead. In the process, they're freebasing lead.
Now, what is the money trail here? I mean, who pays to, first of all, get rid of the stuff, then who pays to mine the toxins, and then who actually ends up paying the workers?
Well, we try to, there's a lot of levels. One thing we try to do is follow it on the China side, on the Hong Kong side. So we got these advertisements, which openly solicit, this is illegal, by the way, but openly solicit, you know, send us your e-waste from the West to China and we'll take care of it. So I said, okay, well, let's go talk to this guy. Nobody would talk to us on camera. So I wore a hidden camera and went to speak with one of these guys in Hong Kong. And he was incredibly honest. I mean, he was very well-educated. He'd spent a lot of time actually in Canada. And he's like, look, Adam Smith knows what he's talking about. You know, let the market demand what it demands. And, we can do it really cheaply. And we're a developing country. And, yeah, so there'll be some environmental problems, but we'll make money. So what there's a huge industry that's blown up because they're able to spend very, very little on the labor and reclaim the precious metals.
And no worker regulations, no environmental or union regulations to protect the workers.
Exactly. And on the U.S. side, it's just a lot cheaper, and not just cheaper, it's lucrative. If you go and donate your computer or recycle your computer, they have to actually spend money to go recycle it domestically, or they can sell it to one of these guys abroad for a couple pennies a pound.
And of course, aside from the environmental issue, there's the question of all that data. And here, while it's not a toxic issue, it certainly was a surprise. Listen to this and then tell me what's going on here.
How much if I wanted to get one of those?
350.
350?
Yeah.
Oh,
My students take the hard drives to Regent University in the Ghanaian capital and ask computer scientist Ina Kwesi Messiah to help us read them.
Will we be able to see the information on the drive?
Yes.
From just hooking all that up?
Yes.
Just as simple as that?
Yes, of course.
So you sent your students to Ghana on a data trail.
Right.
And what did they find?
Well, Ghana is an interesting country because it's listed as one of the top 10 sources of cybercrime by the FBI. And we know that the Nigerian syndicates are involved there with their sort of scams. You know, you get those emails all the time. So we thought, well, here are our old computers with our data are sitting in dumps. Is there a potential threat there? And what that woman you just heard, Krisha Collier, one of my students, went and bought a bunch of these drives and took it to this guy and said, oh, what's on here? And what was on there was, you know, pictures of little kids bathing, the kind of pictures.
Wedding pictures, wedding regular pictures, but also the identities, passwords.
Credit card numbers. But then, you know, one of the big shockers was among the seven drives we bought, one of them happened to be from a major military contractor in Washington.
You're kidding.
Yeah. I mean, it was from Northrop Grumman. Northrop Grumman's drive was sitting in a dump in Ghana, and we recovered just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of documents that related to $500 million, $200 million government contracts with the Defense Intelligence Agency, with NASA, with TSA, with the Transportation Security Administration, how to go about hiring air marshals, how to go about hiring airport screeners. So it was pretty serious stuff.
Just sitting in a dump.
Just waiting there.
Now, aren't companies that you give your computer to obligated to destroy the data or to say that they've somehow formatted these hard drives and that the data is gone?
They are. Unfortunately, there's not... there's virtually no regulation. A big government accountability office study last year found they actually did their own sort of sting domestically and found that a number of these places, reputable places, which said that they were going to take care of electronic waste safely and soundly, ended up shipping it abroad because it's an easy trail.
If you recycle your computer and your identity is stolen and you can trace it to a piece of hardware that you gave to a recycler, is there any recourse that you have? Is there any liability on their part?
Well, there are laws.
There
are laws in the United States.
Nice.
The FACT Act, which actually requires that all personal data be removed from computers, but they're largely unenforceable.
Wow. Can check your local listings tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern Time on PBS, the Frontline World. The story is the world's digital dumping ground. The producer, Peter Klein, producer for Frontline World, thanks so much for joining us.
Pleasure.
My data's all alive, no matter where it's been dumped in the world. You can watch the Frontline World's digital dumping ground on our website as well. We have some excerpts, and we're talking about Iran all day, but we want to hear what's striking you most about the coverage in Iran. What is your headline for today's news? Tell us your headline at 877-8-MY-TAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org. And here's your takeaway.
Those under the age of 40 who are there in spirit and see themselves as brothers and sisters of those who are on the streets have viewed the American response as dead on. And I think Obama has towed a dead on but delicate stance of standing up for free speech and freedom of assembly, but not injecting the United States into domestic politics in Iran.
One of the many voices of Americans, Iranian Americans, taking a look at what's unfolding in Iran and on the streets of Tehran. That's Amir Farouki, an attorney in Atlanta, a member of the Iranian American community there, also running for city council. If you missed anything, we're always on here at The Takeaway. You can take our podcast to go. Subscribe now at thetakeaway.org or on iTunes. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.